dilating upon certain very important essentials concerning the final reaches in meditation, especially according to the yoga system of Patanjali. This culminating point which meditation reaches in its intensity and profundity is designated by Patanjali as Samapatti or Samadhi. I shall use the word Samapatti instead of the word Samadhi, because the word Samadhi has somehow or other, due to popular usage, acquired certain frightening characteristics. We do not know what Samadhi means. The word, due to its popular usage and accepted connotation, may not be properly contained in the mind. So I am using a little milder word, Samapatti, which means virtually the same thing. Yesterday we covered the first step in Samapatti, known as Savitarka, in which experience the object of meditation is intelligently dissociated from all its characteristics foisted upon it, such as the idea about it and the nomenclature associated with it. When you think of anything, any object, you always connect it with some notion that you have already about it. We observe that a tree is called by that name, and we cannot call it by any other name. We cannot call a tree as a stone, for instance. A stone is standing in front. Though there is nothing wrong in changing the name of a particular object, by common usage, a special nomenclature gets associated with a particular object. But this association becomes so intense and vital and part of the object, as it were, so that we cannot think of the object except in terms of that name or definition. Apart from that, we have also an idea about it. Patanjali says this is called a mix-up taking place in the process of the perception or a cognition of the object. The mix-up is the unnecessary conception into which mold we try to cast that object, which stands independently by itself, and also we cast it into the mold of a name that we give it. We give name to the object. The object itself has no name, and also it is free from any kind of idea that another may have about it. Whatever idea you have about me, that is your business. But I am independent of the idea that you have about me. Similarly, with the name, I am that which need not necessarily be defined by that particular name. It can be also associated with any other name. So, divest the object of its associations in terms of name and ideation. Is it possible for the consciousness of the meditator to get united with the substance as such, the substance of the object of meditation as such, in its pristine purity? If this could be possible, hard indeed is this achievement, but if this is practicable, we have achieved something wonderful. Ordinarily not possible. You become a totally unselfish person, entirely impersonal in your engagement of the object of meditation, so that you do not think it as you would like to think it, but you would think it as it ought to be thought from its point of view and not from your point of view. and also you will think it as far as possible in terms of the freedom that it has from any kind of nomenclature. The tree itself may not be aware that it is called tree by people. It is just what it is, and what it is by itself we cannot know, inasmuch as we have never tried to probe into the substance of an object independent of nomenclature and ideation. Now Patanjali expects us to perform this Herculean acrobatic feat as if in a circus, to go out of ourselves in some mysterious manner in order that we may become the object rather than our own self. To be the object is the samapatti spoken of. Samadhi is the equilibrium that is established between the essential nature of the object, independent of external associations, with your own essential nature. Now, you will realize and appreciate that you will not be able to commune yourself with the essential nature of the object independent of idea and name unless you yourself, as the meditating principle, free yourself from such an association in which you are also caught, namely an idea about yourself and the name that you seem to be having. You are Mr. So and so, you are Rama, you are Krishna, you are Mohanji, you are Imrati, or you are only that particular person. You are not another person. My name is Gopal. I am not Ram Krishna. You will say that. And you will not merely say that, you are convinced about it. Apart from that, you have a name and form complex in which the consciousness is shrouded. And this is the idea spoken of. So, in order that your consciousness may unite itself with the essential nature of the object of meditation, you must also try to contact it through your essential nature. Only equals can meet each other. Unequals cannot contact each other. This is a principle that is applicable in society as well as in spiritual meditation. Equals can contact and commune with each other, unequals cannot. Now you cannot expect the object to stand by itself independently of all association, and you yourself be not prepared to undergo this discipline of the similar freedom from association. So internally, in your own personality also, you must be free from associations of every kind. You have to shed the covering of your personality in order that you may expect the similar shedding of the outer cloak of the object. The cloak of the object is, as we have mentioned, the idea about it and the name, and your cloak actually consists of what are known as the sheets, the physical, the subtle and the causal. These three sheets, these koshas, these coverings give you a wrong impression about your own self as located in some place, as belonging to some particular condition and being such and such a thing and not another thing. So this is to briefly explain to you the nature of the samadhi or the samapatti, known as Savitarka. Mostly, this is not easy for beginners. So, Patanjali says, in the earlier stages, let the object be contemplated upon in the manner it is envisaged through common usage. In your level, as it stands at present, try to commune yourself with that object which is parallel to your present condition. In the beginning, therefore, it is an attempt on the part of the meditating consciousness to commune itself with object as invested with the idea about it and the name associated with it. And later on, we take the second step of shedding this involucrum or the covering and go deeper into the essence of the object. When the covering is completely shed, it becomes free from vitarka. So vitarka is that which is associated with an argumentation in respect of the associations of the object, and nirvitarka is the very same object conceived as freedom, free from such associations. What is the object of meditation which you are talking of as associated or not associated? The object in the earlier stages is anything and everything. Yatha bhimata dhyana adva. One sutra of Patanjali says, as you would like to choose whichever object you like. Your beloved object, your Ishta Devata, is left to your choice. But this is only a preliminary kindergarten instruction. Later on, he will not permit you to just think what you like. He is specifically interested in your assuming an ability to commune yourself with the cosmic substance in its lowest level of the Panchamahabhutas, the lowest level of the manifestation of Prakriti, earth, water, fire, air, ether, conceived as a total material continuum associated with idea and name or not associated. Associated thing is Savitarka, not associated thing is Nirvitarka. But the Prakriti's evolutes are not exhausted merely by the presentation of the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Yesterday I tried to mention to you briefly the categories of the Sankhya on which is based also the system of the Yoga of Patanjali. Higher than the physical universe is the subtle universe consisting of the rudimentary principles which become dense in the form of the five gross elements known as earth, water, fire, air, and the prithvi, tejo, vayu, akasha. The subtle elements are known as shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. You know what these are. They are the electrical basis, as it were, electrical components, you may say, for purpose of our understanding. They are subtler than electricity, they are not electrical forces. They are finer than what you can consider as electrical energy. They are something like prana shakti, the vitality of the cosmos, animating the physical universe of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. These are the tanmatras, the potentials, or the seed forms of these five gross elements mentioned. When you probe into a physical object deeply through scientific apparatus, for instance, you will see the electrons inside rather than the molecules constituting the physical object. Basically, electrical stuff is supposed to be the nucleus of a physical object, which looks like some rotund square or some such feature when we see it merely with naked eyes. In a similar manner, we will find on a probe inwardly conducted through the process of meditation, the object will reveal its inner component, not as a physical earth, water, fire, air and ether, but something which is pervasive in its nature. It is something like a solid ice melting into liquid water and water evaporating into gas and assuming kind of pervasive character, not being in one place only as a solid mass. The physical universe of five elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, are located in space and time as substances tangible to the senses, but the tanmatras are super sensible. You can see the five elements, but you cannot see tanmatras. They are inward. But by an inwardization of your mind and going deep into the tanmatra principles constituting your own personality also, you will be able to come in contact with the tanmatra principles at the back of the five gross elements. Now the next stage of samapatti is that unite yourself with the subtle potentials of the physical cosmos. All these things that I am telling you look like theory only. They mean nothing practically for a people who are not accustomed to such in-depth meditation. Yesterday I mentioned to you, there is no use talking about this matter, this subject in larger detail, because they are not intended merely to be listened to or heard or read or just appreciated from the point of view of their meaning according to the dictionary. They will make no sense. They are stages of experience. Anyway, you do well to have some idea as to what this experience could be, which you have to expect in the future of the processes of your meditation, provided you take to it seriously and not merely in an academic or armchair fashion. The tanmatras are difficult to apprehend through sense organs. They are inwardized forces, and therefore by an introversion of consciousness, it will be possible to come in contact with these subtle principles behind the physical cosmos. But these subtle principles, namely tanmatras, also are conditioned in some way. Just as an object is conditioned by the idea about it and the name associated with it, the tanmatras are conditioned by space and time. They are spatio-temporal, as they put it. In the large expanse of space and in the process of time, these tanmatras operate. With the stretch of imagination, you will be able to make some sense out of how or what this circumstance could be. Can you imagine a pervasive electrical force spreading itself everywhere in space and constituting the basic element of everything that is called physicality or materiality? That would be the world we are thinking of now in the stage of meditation on tanmatras located in space condition by time. Whatever be the effort that you put forth through your imaginative process to free an object from association with space and time, you will find that this is not practical. Everything, whatever it is somewhere and not everywhere. And it is sometime and not at all times. You cannot imagine something existing at all times, because it must have been in the past and now it is not there, or it may come in the future, etc. A suggestion into the perpetual existence of anything through all the processes of time, past, present and future is beyond the expectation of any imagination. Also, a thing can be in some place, but it cannot be in no place. That is not possible. To be in some place is to be in space. And if you lift the character of spatiality associated with the object, it ceases to be located. And then the object becomes non-located. What is the meaning of non-located object? Human mind cannot think it. Even modern science has come to this great conclusion, which is staggering to human mind. Finally, things are not located. They are not somewhere. Events in the world do not take place in space, and they do not take place in time. The whole history of humanity is not a process taking place in this world. Will you like to hear this? Human history is not taking place in this world. It is not taking place in space and time, because it is an event that is taking place, but events do not take place in space and time. This is your modern theory of relativity. Whatever that meaning be, it is something which is worth considering. That is the state in which you will find yourself a relativity cosmos will be presented before your consciousness. When you rise above the concept of the physical materiality of the five elements associated with idea and name, and enter into tanmatra, which are in the beginning conceived as located in space and time, but later we have divested them of even association with space and time. Tanmatras associated with space and time become the object of experience in the state known as Savichara. These are all technical words in Sanskrit. We need not go into the etymology of all this. Suffice it to say, this definition, Savichara, simply suggests that state of experience where the universal potentials behind the physical cosmos are presented as conditioned by space and time, but when they are not conditioned, if you can feel and appreciate and identify yourself with that non-located circumstance where your space and time would not be conditioning tanmatras, you would be in the next higher state of samapatti known as nirvichara. When you reach this state, truth will reveal itself. Nirvichara vaisharadhi adhyatma prasada. The self will rise up into intense activity of direct perception, and you will find God dancing before you as it were, to put it in the language of the devotees. Your own self will be dancing in ecstasy. as if it has attained freedom from the bondage of samsara and righteousness called dharma will reign as if dropping from clouds from heaven. And that condition of the reigning of righteousness as from the clouds descending from heaven, that condition is called dharma megha samadhi. The cloud of virtue will pour upon you abundant rain of goodness and righteousness, charitableness and affection, and you will become a center of attraction, not merely from one corner or another corner. All the quarters of the universe will pay tribute to you. Say the Upanishad, Sarva Disho Balimasmai Haranti. As vassals of a large state ruler, emperor, offer tribute to the emperor, the quarters of heaven will start offering tribute to this great person who is no more a person. The heavenly virtues will descend upon you. Righteousness will be the substance of your personality. Can you imagine? The substance of your personality is not bone, flesh and nerve. It is righteousness. In the Valmiki Ramayana, there is a description of Rama as being the embodiment, that is solidified form of righteousness itself. Ramo Vigrahavan Dharma is the word of Valmiki. Righteousness has assumed a form, a shape and a completeness as it were. In Rama, the paragon of virtue. That is what Valmiki tells us about Rama. Some such thing may be the description of the Blessed One who attains to this vichara nirvichara samapatti experience to contest the heaven's clarity. What will happen to you at that time? What you will see at a time you cannot imagine now. Angels descend, says the commentator on one of the sutras of Patanjali, Vyasa. Angels from heaven descend and invite you from all directions. Great one, we have been waiting for you since a long time. Come on. Here is the golden couch, here is the velvet bed, here is the stream of milk, here is the pond of honey, here are the heavenly maidens to serve you, here is the meadow, the garden, the palace, not the palace and the garden that you see in this world, which are all material in their nature, untarnished, uncontaminated. Ever-enduring empire will be presented before you. But entangle yourself not in the perceptions, says the great commentator on the Sutra of Patanjali with the simple Sthani Upanimantrane Sangha Smaya Akaranam. Because you will be once again bound by the golden chain of the attraction for the heavenly empire instead of being bound by the iron chain of the earthly empire. What would it be for you if you are arrested and handcuffed with diamond chains instead of iron chains? Will you be happy because it is diamond? and it is gold. You are bound to the pillar of sapphire and jewels with a chain made of gold and diamond. Would you like to be in that condition of glory, of material prosperity, because you are in contact with the richest of values? No, no good. So be not attracted to this wondrous temptation. But this temptation will not be a problem for you if you have already prepared yourself basically in the earlier stages of yoga practice through yamas and niyamas. If there is some remnant of discipline not covered but bypassed for some reason or other, during your period of discipline of yamas, etc., you will be lingering there as little potentials to pull you down to the earth. Why not have it if possible? Anyway, this is to give you a picture of the glory of the experience that you may have to expect in both the samadhis or samapatti, savijara and nirvijara, especially nirvijara. Vajjara vajjara dhye adhyatma prasadaha. The self manifests itself. The whole point is that you will be embracing yourself, dancing with yourself, atma rajra, atma kreda, atma vaham, to put it in the language of Upanishads. You play with yourself. You rejoice in yourself. You play football and cricket with your own self as it were. You do not require any other person to give it, and you do not want anything to give you satisfaction. You may wonder, is myself not now with me? Why should it be there afterwards? It will come later on only so that I may enjoy it. Even now it is you, and you are not going to be another afterwards, that is true. But now the self is dead as it were. Atma anujanaha asurya namade lokaha. We are in the darkness of the ignorance of a complete oblivion of the existence of our own self. So that there is the sun shining in the sky, in this broad daylight and dazzling, we are really in darkness as far as our own self is concerned. We know nothing about our own self. We know everything about the solar radiance and everything in the world outside, but nothing about our own self. You have lost yourself and gained the whole world. What is the use of that? Gain the entire world, lose your own self. Wonderful. Now you are going to gain yourself. And in gaining yourself, you are not going to lose the world. You are gaining the entire thing, including the world, because yourself includes the whole world. Such an experience will be the experience of nirvijara, rain of nectar, flood of honey. What words can we use to tell you what kind of experience you will be having at that time? Music and dance are insufficient descriptions, much more than that. Deliciousness of diet is not adequate description. Emperorship is not adequate description. Possession of the whole cosmos to keep it under your control is not adequate description. All these descriptions attempted are inadequate. They fall short of what it is that you will be feeling there and experiencing there. So, is it sufficient for you, or you want to hear something more? If this is itself a flood that is drowning you with an inability even to comprehend what it means, why do you expect another flood? And the flood of Ganga itself is sufficient to drown us completely in death. And would you like the whole Arabian Sea, Atlantic to come and follow you? The Atlantic will come on your head. What will happen? Would you like Atlantic to be rolling on your head? This is what will happen to you if you go further. floods of Ganga and Yamuna are enough for you. You will be frightened even to touch Ganga when she is in his state. Ral badal, budu budu, she is very sound. And you cannot go near. Every day she is not behaving like that since long time after the passing of Guruji. Anyway, these samapattis are, to repeat once again, the ascent of consciousness of the Purusha through the evolutes of Prakriti, the most rudimentary level of Prakriti being the Pancha Mahabhutas, through which you have risen up, which you have pierced through, and enter into the Tanmatras in their association with space and time, and now also in their dissociation of space and time. Great joy ensues. This is all one can say. The deeper you go, the more difficult it becomes to explain what it is. In the earlier stages, a lot of explanation is possible. You can go on giving lectures on the earlier stages, but as you go deeper and deeper, you become mum. When you are drowned in water, you will not open your mouth. Only when you are on the surface, you go on chattering and saying all kinds of things. Now you are going to be drowned completely. Where are you going to be drowned? In your own self. The tanmatras have been transcended by their dissociation of even the connection with space and time. You go to this pure, I am what I am. The Ankara Tattva are described cosmically in the Sankhya doctrine. I am what I am. We have heard this said many times, but it is only a linguistic sentence with a subject and a predicate and a verb. The meaning of it is not clear. Moses seems to have queried the Almighty, what can I say, Lord, that you are? What can I tell people that I have seen? Tell people that you have seen, I am what I am. Well, Moses might have understood what this statement meant, but many of us will not be able to make out any sense out of it. Anyway, this is the cosmic I speaking, not this eye or that eye or my eye or your eye, or the eye of this or eye of that. It is the all eye, capital I touching the skies. That is the universal self, becoming conscious of its existence, asserting its soul dividendness, the self manifesting itself as a self-conscious universality. This is the bliss that you speak of in the highest state of samapatti known as sananda. Sananda means associated with ananda, bliss. Not the bliss that you can think of in this world. We have also moments of happiness in this world. Many times we are immensely happy for some reason or the other. We are possessed of some great value and worthwhileness. You become very happy. This happiness is nothing. It is a shadow cast by the real happiness of the self. If shadow can attract you to such an extent, what will the original do? All this knowledge of the world is darkness before the wisdom of the self. And all this joy that you are apparently feeling in this world by contact of sense objects is actually pain, a scratching, an itching, a nervous titillation. It cannot be called happiness. The real self will manifest itself only when the universal I reveals itself as I am what I am. No space, no time. They all came after us. God created the heaven and the earth. But this is the state of God prior to the creation of the heaven and earth. No space, no time, no let there be light, much before that. What was God doing? Before He said, let there be light, and there was light. Before heaven and earth were created. Before He brooded on the waters of the cosmos. What was He? He was something. Can you imagine? He was not somewhere. He was not something. He was not all-pervading. He was not omniscient. He was not all-powerful. These words should not be attributed to God in that state where heaven and earth were not there. All-pervasiveness is not possible because no space, no time. Oh, that tremendous eternity reigns supreme in its own pristine grandeur, majesty. And what can I say? This is Ananda, the bursting joy of the inner core of the cosmos that reveals itself to itself. It may not reveal itself to you, you are no more there. Because yourself has gone together with the going of space and time. This is the penultimate reach of consciousness in its ecstatic attempt to unite itself with yourself. Sananda. Still something is left over. What is left over? That I will not say today. Hari Om Tat Sat. Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai.